time, sometimes it seems like you don't have a lot of that. When you look at the days we're living in and the fast approaching of the coming of the Lord, you wish everything just happened today, right now. You know. But the Lord has given us patience. I guess if I've learned anything, I've learned patience in the last year. Amen. It's good to be here today. It's been, I guess, something like 9 months since I've even been in service here. And it still looks the same. Still looks the same. Same Spirit of the Lord. Feels good to be in the house of God, to worship the Lord. Amen. Good to see all of you folks that I remember and are so close to us. And a lot of new people. I see a lot of new faces that I never seen before. It's good to see you in the house of the Lord. Amen. That's what it's all about. It's new people coming into the church. Amen. I remarked to my wife last week in service. There wasn't anybody in our service that was there when we first went to town in Columbia. And in a way, you know, you say, well, that's bad. But a lot of them has moved out of town, moved to Michigan, Vermont, you know, all those long places, a long way away. The Lord has given us new folks, new people, and we want to see new people born in the kingdom of God. That's what it's all about. I didn't go to Columbia to build a church out of people that was in another church. I went to win people to God, because that's not any good just to win them from other churches. That's not what it's all about. To win people to God. Newborn babies that don't even know anything about this gospel. Praise the Lord. I'm going to quit talking here, and I want to sing something. I want to sing a song. You may know, a little chorus. It goes something like this. Let me give it up. Let there be glory and honor to Jesus. Glory and honor to Jesus. Let there be glory and honor. Let there be glory and honor to Him. Let there be glory and honor to Jesus. Oh, glory and honor to Jesus. Let there be glory and honor. Let there be glory and honor to Him. Help me sing it. Oh, let there be glory and honor to Jesus. Glory and honor to Jesus. Let there be glory and honor. Let there be glory and honor to Him. Stand and help me sing it. Let there be glory and honor to Jesus. Glory and honor to Jesus. Let there be glory and honor. Let there be glory and honor to Him. Just let there be glory and honor to my Jesus. Oh, glory and honor to Jesus. Let there be glory and honor. Let there be glory and honor to Him. That's what I want it to be. Oh, let there be glory and honor to Jesus. Glory and honor to Jesus. Let there be glory and honor. Let there be glory, honor to Him. Yes, let there be glory and honor to Jesus. Glory and honor to Jesus. Let there be glory and honor. Let there be glory and honor to Him.
close your eyes and lift a hand. Let there be glory and honor to Jesus. Glory and honor to Jesus. Let there be glory and honor to Him. Oh, let there be glory and honor to my Jesus. Yes, glory and honor to Jesus. Let there be glory and honor. Let there be glory and honor to Him. Hallelujah, Jesus. We praise your name, Lord. Oh, hallelujah, 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 Jesus. We love you. We thank you, Lord, all the praise, all the honor, all the glory. Lord, we owe everything to you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Yes, Jesus. Hallelujah. Turn into the Word of the Lord, 1 Kings. We could talk to you a lot about the things that has happened to us in the past year, but it's just things that happens to everybody else. You know, that's just things that happens to everybody else. What if someone said, you know, nothing that happens to us except temptation, except what's common to man. Nothing befalls us except the temptation that's common to man. Nothing happens to us except what happens to everybody else, really. The only thing that's great about all of that is that Jesus was always there. Amen. And Jesus always brought us through all of it. Amen. And taught us a whole lot along the way. Praise the Lord. I want to turn to 1 Kings, the 20th chapter. 1 Kings, the 20th chapter. And I'm going to begin reading at the 21st verse. And the king of Israel went out and smote the horses and chariots and slew the Assyrians with a great slaughter. And the prophet came to the king of Israel and said unto him, Go strengthen thyself and mark, and see what thou doest, for at the return of the year the king of Syria will come up against thee. And the servants of the king of Syria said unto him, Their gods are gods of the hills. Therefore they were stronger than we. But let us fight against them in the plain, and surely we shall be stronger than they. I want to go down to the 28th verse. And there came a man of God and spake unto the king of Israel and said, Thus saith the Lord, because the Syrians have said, Lord is God of the hills, but he is not God of the valleys. Therefore will I deliver all this great multitude into thine hand, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. Amen. Let's thank the Lord for the reading of His Word. Thank you, Jesus, for your Word. Oh, hallelujah. We give you praise, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. We give you praise, Lord, for your Word. We thank you, Lord, because your Word will not return unto you void, but will accomplish that which you have sent it out to accomplish. And we give you all the praise. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. I just want to minister on a simple subject for the next little while. God of the hills and God of the valleys. God of the hills and God of the valleys. A lot of times, we really recognize God when we get down in the valley. Everything is great on the hills, you know. We know that God's there. We know He's there. We can feel Him all around us. We can feel His Spirit. A lot of times we're dancing and shouting and praising God, rejoicing, and everything is just going smooth. We know God's there. But it takes a lot of time for us to go through the valleys
for other people to know that what we really got is genuine. Now, it's not anything special that we can serve the Lord when the money's coming in and blessings are flowing and everybody's a friend and we haven't got any enemies and people are getting the Holy Ghost right and left and we're rejoicing and all of that. That's nothing special. Anybody could do that. You know, the weakest saint could serve the Lord when everything is heaven here on earth. But the test of our discipleship and our love for God comes when we have a trial come our way, when we have a burden that seems like we cannot bear, when we go a few services and somebody does not get the Holy Ghost, so we go a few days and that check that we're looking for in the mail does not come through, and we get behind on a few notes or things of this nature. That's when our test of our trust in God comes. Now, we can say also that we trust in God and we can believe God. And it's easy to believe God in those situations. But how do we react when it first comes? What happens? You know, do we turn to God first or do we turn to someone else first? Do we look to God's help to deliver us or do we look to man? Do we look to some outside help or do we go straight to God? Do we rejoice in our tribulations, rejoice in our trials? I'm not saying rejoice because we've got them, but rejoice because we know that God's able to take us out of those things. Amen. I've been at times in my life that I didn't feel like rejoicing. I felt like crying. I felt like just throwing up my hands and saying, well, what's the use? Why even worry about it? And there's been a lot of other men and women that's felt the same way, and I'm sure that every one of us have it sometime or the other. But just because we felt like it does not mean we have to do it. We have to override this. We have to go beyond it. And that's what serving the Lord is all about. Going beyond our feelings at times. And let the Spirit of the Lord regulate our feelings. If we've got the Spirit of God, then our outside feelings, how we feel about things, should not affect us. Our flesh should not come into rule. We know that this has happened many times before. We know it happened in the Word of God because David one place. He wrote in the 130th chapter, I believe it is, of Psalm, out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O God. Now, we talk to the Lord, but when we really cry to Him is when we get down in the valley. When we want His help real bad is when we get in trouble and we don't know which way to turn. And I'm not saying that's bad. Not at all. That's where we're supposed to turn to. But we're also supposed to be able to talk to God when we're up on the mountaintop. We're supposed to be able to communicate with God when we're up there. And then when we get down in the valley, things is not going to look so hopeless. And so out of character, we're going to know that we still got a God that we can serve and a God that we can hold on to. Right. Amen. And He's the same God yesterday, today, and forever. He's not going to change. He's not going to be like we are, in other words. One day we're one way and one day we're something else. With somebody we're one way and somebody we're somebody else, we're a whole lot different character. Now, He's not going to be like that. If I need help, He's going to help me. If you need help, He's going to help you. That's the way it's always going to be. And God's going to help all of us when we get in trouble. Jonah cried. In fact, the words of Jonah as he wrote, he said, out of the belly of hell have I cried unto thee, O God. What brought all of this on? Why did David cry like that? I'm sure David went through a lot of trials. And he came through of them, through on top of all of these things, just like a king. I said, just like a king, and that's the way we are. We are kings of priests unto God, and we should come out like a king. We should be a noble person, somebody that knows what he's got and not afraid to show it. Amen. We should know the Word of God. I'm getting maybe a little off the subject a minute, but we should know the Word of God, what the Bible say over in the 17th chapter of the book of Acts. He said the people of Berea were more noble than the people of Thessalonica because they searched the Scriptures daily. That, in other words, they knew what was in the Word of God. Somebody noble is somebody that knows what he's got and is not afraid to tell people about it. And I'm not afraid to tell this world, I'm not afraid to tell the devil, hey, I've got riches that you know not of. I've got salvation and I'm on my way to heaven. Nothing's going to turn me around. Amen. I know what the Word of God says, and I'm finding out more every day that the Word of God's got more for me than I ever realized it had. Amen. I learn something new every day when I read the Word of God. Hey, I'm serving a God that's able to take me through anything. I'm talking about anything. Now, it's easy to say that, but when we come to the test, can we really say that? Will we really stand firm to that? There's anything, and don't get me wrong, don't take this wrong, but if there's anything that we need today, we need more faith in God. We need more trust in the Lord. I know that we trust the Lord when we get sick and we don't have nowhere else to turn. I know we trust the Lord when we run out of money and we don't have anybody else to turn to. But will we trust the Lord first of all before we turn to anybody else? That's what faith is all about. Faith is not getting all the way down to the test and then having to pull it out. It's having faith all the way through the test. Amen. Having faith when you're on the mountain that when you get in the valley, the Lord is going to deliver you. Now, there's been people in the Word of God that's made statements and people that I've heard in my experience and my walk with God, the years that I have been in church, that I've heard people make statements about, it doesn't matter what Satan may send my way, I'm going to serve the Lord. You know, and you stop and think, wow, what you saying? You want the devil to try you? No, I'm not wanting him to. I'm not wanting trouble to come my way. I'm not asking God to send trouble my way. But we've got to also be able to stand it when it does. Amen. I made the statement just a couple of weeks ago to my church. I said, the Lord has blessed me in the past couple of years. The Lord has kept me in good health. I guess you could say almost fantastic health. The Lord has kept me in where I haven't been in bed more at any time more than one day where I even felt bad because the Lord has kept me in health. And I'm thankful for that. And I made the statement. I said, but if I was to go home and I was to get sick tonight, something was to come my way and tonight, I still believe the Lord loves me. I still believe the Lord cares for me. I still believe He's still my God even when I get in trouble. Amen. He's not going to turn His back on me when I get in trouble. Amen. And I went home and I got home and it wasn't 10 minutes after I walked in the door that I got sick. That's right. I did. I started hurting. Pain started shooting through me. I never had anything like that in my life. Never had any thing to affect me so badly. Not even in the worst time that I was sick that I can remember. But that hurt. And I had to lay down in the middle of the floor. It was hurting so bad. I told my wife, I said, I've never hurt this bad. I said, I know what the devil's trying to do. He's trying to make me out of a lie. Yeah, that's what he's trying to do. And I said, but he's not going to. I said, I believe God's going to take it away. And I just spoke. I said, in the name of Jesus, I said, this is going to go away. I'm not going to let it worry me. It's not going to bother me. And you know what? It went away. Amen. Just like that. Amen. Just like that. But we've got to learn to have things. Now, I'm not saying that's anything great. I think that we've got to have a few more tests more than that to really say, well, my faith is great. I'm not saying my faith any greater than yours is. But we have to be tried and we've got to believe it. If we say something, we've got to mean it. Amen. And we've got to stand behind it. If we go out in this world, we tell them, we believe God, we trust in the Lord, and then we go on the job and we look like we've been run over by a Mack truck or something. They ask you, what's wrong with you? Oh, I don't feel good this morning. What are they going to think? Well, what? I thought your God could heal. I thought your God loved you. And I'm not being a fanatic. But I do think that we've got to start showing this world that we trust in God. I said, we got to start showing this world, hey, I believe God. We want them to come and serve our God. We've got to show them our God can deliver us. We've got to have something to stand behind us and carry us through. Amen. He's a God of the hills. But let me tell you something else. When you get down to the valley, He's the same God. Amen. Hallelujah. What did Daniel? Daniel, he prayed 3 times a day. And they, some wicked men, evil men, rulers of that day, they came to the king and said, let's make a decree that nobody worships you. I'm not preaching anything, elaborate this morning. I'm just telling you some simple things that we need to know, and we need to get back to the basics, so to speak. First, we got to learn to trust God. That's the first thing in our walk with God. Anything that we do, our first step has got to be faith, believing in God. Because we can't even come to God unless we first believe that He is. We can't even make the first step in the right direction unless we believe that there's a God and that He will do what He says. What does the Scripture say? For without faith it is impossible to please God. For they that come to God must first believe that He is and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Amen. That's our first step. Then, of course, we got to go to repentance, baptism, and then filling of the Spirit of God. And then our walk really begins in earnest. We have to keep that same faith that we had before. But Daniel got in trouble. And I'm sure those wicked men, when they got the king to sign that decree, the Bible doesn't say this, but I'm sure that when they got him to sign that decree, they went down and they saw Daniel praying. Boy, they rejoiced. And then the king came and he had to put Daniel in the lion's den. He had to put him in there because he had done put his seal on it. He came down there to get Daniel and take him down to the lion's den. I'm sure those wicked men were standing off to the side. Ha! Where's your God at now? I thought you served the God of the world, of the universe, only true and living God. Now where's your God at now? Look where we've got you. Now you're in the lion's den. Now how's your God going to deliver you from that? A den of lions. They hadn't been fed in days, just waiting on you. Just waiting on to get a little meal. He wouldn't have made very much for them pack of lions, I'm sure. But they was probably mocking him, and I wonder if the world does that to us. Now, where's your God at now when we get in trouble? Where's your God at now? Oh, Daniel, he just went down there and made him a pillow out of one of them lions, and the Lord came down and shut the lion's mouth. The king paced all night long. He was the one that worried. Daniel wasn't even worried about it. The king came back down there the next morning and looked. Said, Daniel, are you still alive? Is the God that you serve, was He able? You know, there was a kind of a question there. Is the God that you serve, was He able to keep you? Daniel said, O king, live forever. The angel of the Lord came down and he shut the mouths of the lions. He shut the mouths of the lions. Now, we look at there and we say, well, that's great. But look what happened to the end of it. The wicked men that cast him in there, the Bible says the king cast them in there, and before they ever touched the bottom, before they ever reached the bottom of that lion's den, the lions tore them and ate them and devoured them. Because God has not let people mock Him. God is going to destroy the enemy. And I'm not talking about people. The enemy is not people, okay? The enemy is not people. But the Lord is going to come in, and He's going to destroy the enemy. He's going to go before us and fight our battles for us. We don't have to worry when we get in trouble. We say, well, I cried to the Lord out of the depths, and He heard me. That's great. That's wonderful. But why do we have to wait till we get to the bottom of it? Why can't we go ahead and cry to God at the very beginning of it? Say, God, I believe You. I know I'm going through a valley. I'm starting down through this valley. But, Lord, I believe that You're fixing to put me back up on the mountaintop. I'm going to trust in You. And even if I do go through the valley, I'm still going to trust in You, God. I'm not going to turn to the right hand, and I'm not going to turn to the left. Because I know who I serve. And I'm persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him. Amen. I believe God. Everybody say, I believe God. Amen. We've got to get back to that. Really believing God. If there's anything that we lack, it's faith. You said, I've got lots of faith. No, if we really had faith, we'd be doing a lot of other things for the Lord. You saying you question my faith? No, I'm not. But let me tell you something. We've got to get more faith. The Bible, Jesus said Himself, when the Son of Man cometh, shall He find faith on the earth? We're living in the last days, and the faith is not. The faith that we should have is not what it should be. Because we've got to reach out and touch God. I've got to start trusting God more. I've got to. I've got to start trusting God for the simple things. The little minor things. Things that this world would not even call important. That's right. Because how am I going to get my faith built up when something big comes my way? When a big old storm or a big old wave starts rolling toward me. If I don't start to trust the Lord in the very little things. Lord, I trust You. Lord, I know You're a God of the hills, and I know You're a God of the valleys. I know You're able to take care of me. Amen. The Hebrew children, they the same thing that Daniel. They came to cast him in the fiery furnace. They said, King, you can play that music as much as you want to, but we're not going to change our mind, because we know that the God that we serve is able to deliver us out of that fiery furnace, and He will deliver us out of your hands, O King. And then they went on to say, but if He don't, we're still going to serve Him. If He don't, we're still going to serve Him, because we know who we serve. I said, we know who we serve. Do we know who we serve? Can we say that? Can we say that when we get in trouble? I know whom I serve. Satan, you get behind me, because I know who I serve. You're not going to put anything on me, because I know whom I serve. Hallelujah. I know whom I believe in. I know He's going to take me through. Amen. I know that my faith is in the only one that can deliver me. Only one that can ever take me through. I know my faith is there. It's there. Amen. But out of all of these people that I've talked about, I guess the man that really had it the worst, that really got tried, was Job. You're talking about how I cry. Well, he had everything. He had riches. He had wealth. He had happiness. He had everything you could hope for. Satan came to the Lord one day and said, He's just serving you for what you do for Him. And there's a lot of truth in that. That's the reason I serve the Lord, because of what He does for me. But I also got to realize, the devil's got to realize too, if he took it all away, I'm still going to serve Him. Because I'm not serving Him for this life only. I said, I'm not serving Him for this life only. I'm serving Him for that. That's great. I love what He's done. I'm not telling Him to take any way of the earnest of my inheritance away from me. Give me the earnest too, but I'm serving Him for my inheritance. And the Lord said, well, you just go and take everything He's got. That's okay. But you leave Him alone. Don't touch Him. And Satan went and he took everything he had away, and still Job said, naked I came in this world, and naked I shall return. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Boy, that had to be a defeat for Satan. That had to be a defeat. Probably down in his kingdom, they was all crying. Oh, boy, you mean this guy did that? Well, let's try something else. Let's touch his body. Let's go. So he came from going to and fro through all the earth and came before the Lord and said, well, skin for skin will a man give for his own soul, for his own, all, everything he's got. But if you touch him, boy, you just go ahead and touch him. Now, he's going to turn his back on you. He'll curse you. You just wait and see if he don't. So the Lord said, okay, go ahead. I touch him. And but you don't kill him. You're not going to be able to kill him. So he put those sores on his body, and Job began to scrape himself with a potsherd, and he looked aside. I'm sure if anybody had seen him, they'd have said, where's your God now? And a lot of them did. He had three friends, and they came to him, and that's what they was asking. Where's your God now? And this is just some of the things that we may hear sometimes when we get in trouble. Oh, one of his comforters, Job's comforters, Eliphaz, came to Job in the fourth chapter of the book of Job. If you want to read along with me, you can. The fourth chapter and the seventh through the ninth verse. He came to Job and he said, remember, I pray thee, whoever perished being innocent. Or were the righteous cut off? You ever heard that when you got in, you know, you got sick and you got in trouble? The devil ever talk to you like that? Even as I have seen, they that plow iniquity and sow wickedness reap the same. By the blast of God they perish, and by the breath of his nostrils are they consumed. You know what he was telling Job? He said, man, you sinned. You turned your back on God. You tried to hide it, but you did. And there's a lot of people going around today that says if you ever get sick, that you sin. That's not true. I said, that's not true. We don't have to stay sick. We have the Word of God that tells us we can call over the elders of the church and they can anoint us with oil and pray over us, and the prayer of faith to stay the sick, and the Lord shall raise them up. But that does not mean we're not going to ever get sick. That does not mean we're ever going to be in trouble. I listen to preachers on the radio sometime, and I hear them coming on there saying, well, if you got things wrong with you, you better check your life out. You probably got sin in your life. That's not true. Sometimes we have to be tried. We have to come forth as gold, tried in the fire, more precious than gold. That's right. We have to go through the fire sometimes, but that does not mean we have to stay in the fire. I'm not saying that at all. Don't get me wrong. No, we don't have to stay there. There's a lot of people think, well, it's all for the glory of God. They said to the Lord, I'm just going to suffer through it. No, you don't have to suffer through it. You can go to God, but that does not mean because you went through it that God was not on your side, that God did not love you. Amen. And that's what Job's comforters came to him and said, you sin, boy, you better get your act together, get straightened out, because things just aren't right. That wasn't all. Job tried to answer him, but they just kept on at him. Then in the 8th chapter, another one. Bildad, he spoke up. 6th verse of the 8th chapter, Bildad said, if thou wert pure and upright, surely now he would await for thee and make the habitation of thy righteousness prosperous. 20th verse, the 8th chapter, said, behold, God will not cast away a perfect man. The Lord had done said that Job was a perfect man, upright, one that eschewed evil. That's right. Behold, God will not cast away a perfect man, neither will he help the evildoers. In other words, he was calling him a hypocrite. Job, you're just an old hypocrite. You've been trying to let us think that you love God and that you serve God, but you're just an old hypocrite. Devil ever came and told you that when you got in trouble? You're just a hypocrite. Everybody knows you for what you are. If you're not careful, you'll start believing him. He sounds so convincing. Boy, does he sound convincing. You never had anything with God. You never got the Holy Ghost. You never had an experience with the Lord. You just might as well give it all up because you're not going anywhere. Everybody knows you. Just look at them over there grinning over in the corner. They know what you are. Every time that you get a blessing, everybody else is looking at you and saying, oh, they're not nothing. They're not anything. They're just a show-off. That kept a lot of us from getting a blessing, too. That's right. You're just an old hypocrite. Well, if that wasn't enough, here come another one. Zophar came to him. 11th chapter. 2nd verse. Should not the multitude of words be answered? And should a man full of talk be justified? Should thy lies make men hold their peace? And when thou mockest, shall no man make thee ashamed? For thou hast said, my doctrine is pure, and I am clean in thine eyes. But oh, that God would speak and open his lips against thee, and that he would show thee the secrets of wisdom, that they are double to that which is. Know therefore that God exacted of thee less than thy iniquity deserveth. He said, boy, you ought to have it worse. You're not only a hypocrite, but you're a liar. You think you got it bad now. He should really put something on you. That's the way the world feels sometimes. That's the way sometimes people in the church feel. You know? Yeah. Boy, you think you got it rough now. If God really gave you what you deserve, you really would be in trouble. You might as well give it up. You might as well go hide in the corner somewhere and just throw up your hands and be defeated. People that mean well sometimes, a lot of times people in the church that's meant well that's caused other people to lose faith in what really is. That's right. And we could always mark it down and say, oh, they'd have left anyhow. Yeah, we can justify ourselves that way if we want to. But we better make sure we're friends. We better make sure that we encourage one another in the Lord. Amen. That we're always there when somebody gets down and says, oh, that's okay. The Lord still loves you. Come on, get back up. You're saying, well, the Lord can't love them. Look what they've done. Who are you to judge? Who are we to say who can serve God and who can't serve God? What are we to go to somebody and put them down when they've already been kicked in the mouth one time? You know, let's help each other up. Oh, you're talking about the valley. Job was in the valley. He was down in the bottom of the valley. He was in bad shape. And he didn't even know how to answer them, really. They're confusing Job. Now, don't get me wrong. The Bible says he didn't sin with his mouth nor charge God foolishly. In no way. But he was sure making a lot of statements that didn't make any sense. You just read through the Bible. He had to have Elihu to come along and try to straighten him out. And Elihu didn't do a whole lot better than they did. But after Elihu got through, the Lord came. He said, let me tell you, all these people that's been talking to you, they're a bunch of liars. They don't know what they're talking about. But where were you, Job? Where were you when I formed the earth? Where were you when I created the heavens? Where were you when all of this happened? Where were you when I created the beast of the field and hung the stars in the sky? Where were you at, Job? And she kind of told Job all about it, showed him that he was a master. These people didn't know all they were talking about. Before long, the Lord had done came down there and took Job out of the valley and set him on the mountaintop, put him back up there where he belonged. But Job held his faith in God all the way through that. That's the reason. That's what we've got to do. We've got to hold our faith in God. Job did not, even in all of those things, he didn't charge God foolishly. He didn't say one bad thing against the Lord. Not one bad thing. Oh, he said some bad things about himself. He even got to where he was wondering himself if he was really doing right. But he didn't charge God. He said, God is upright. God is pure. And what did he say in the 14th chapter, 19th verse? It said, oh, though after the skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh I shall see the Lord, for I know that my Redeemer liveth. In the last days I shall see Him. Hallelujah. In the midst of all of His troubles, He made one of the greatest prophecies that was ever written in the Word of God. One of these days He's going to stand on this earth. He said, I wish that my words were written with a pen of iron, graven in lead, graven in stone, that they might see forever. He didn't know that they was written forever. When he spoke those, Job didn't know that. But all his words are remembered, recalled years later, thousands of years later, that we still got a God that cares for us. And we go back to those and we draw comfort from the fact somebody did it before us. We get in trouble, somebody did it before us. Hallelujah. Oh, there's been men on top of men, women on top of women that went through the same thing that we went through. Oh, they don't know what I'm going through. But they do. They've been there. I said, they've been there. But the good thing about all of this is, to know before we ever go in the valley who we serve. To get established. That's the reason the Lord gave us so many mountaintop experiences. When we first come to the Lord, we don't have a lot of valleys right at the first. You ever notice that? We don't have a lot of valleys right at first because God puts us up there so we can learn. So we can learn who He really is. What He would really, really do for us. Amen. Reading that over there in 1 Kings, Ahab, he was a simple man, but God still took care of His people anyhow. And Ben-Hadad, he came against the people of the Lord. He wasn't coming against Ahab. He was coming against the people of the Lord. He was questioning their God. And even though Ahab was a wicked king, the Lord's still taking care of His people. And so, they went out and they slew the Syrians right and left. Great slaughter, the Bible says. They got back home. They ran with their tails tucked between their legs, you know, like a dog does run away when he gets in trouble, and he went back home and sat down. And Ben-Hadad, he was probably ready to quit. He said, I've had enough. But his servants came to him and said, King, said, we've been looking this thing over. He said, we know what's wrong. We know what's wrong with all of this. He said, you notice that when we was out there fighting, we was in the mountains, that everything around us was mountains. There wasn't no valleys there. It was mountaintops. Well, we was on top of the mountain when we was fighting them. Their God, the only reason they can trust in Him because their God is the God of the hills. And Roman mythology, Greek mythology, and all of this. I'm sure it was in all of the rest of it. They had a god for everything. You know, they had a god for the hills, a god for the thunder, a god for the lightning, a god for the clouds, a god for the rain, a god for the sun, a god for everything you want to think. Imagine they had a different god for it. And so they just figured it out. Since our God is only a god of the hills, or a god of the plains, or a god of whatever, their gods, they defeated us so bad, then their gods have to be a god, gods of the hills. So they convinced Ben-Hadad. Said, oh yeah, everything's going to be alright. We can go beat them next year about this time. We've got to wait till next year, but we're going to go down there. But the Lord had already took care of that. He came, he sent a prophet to Ahab and said, you know what? He's coming back against you, Ahab. Let me tell you what to do. And that's what the Lord does for us when we're on the mountaintop. That's the reason the preacher gets up, and sometimes we think, boy, the pastor gets up there and we're on the mountaintop, we think, well, why don't he let us stay up? Why don't he just preach another sermon that just so beautiful, you know? We think, but he has to come down there and he has to do a little exhortation, a little correcting. So, because he knows, the Lord done told him, hey, you may go through the valley here. You better get prepared for it. You better get out in the few, next year, it's coming back again. Everything looks good now. People getting the Holy Ghost, people being baptized, but you better look out. You're going to go through a valley. We don't understand a lot of times. Why does he have to get up right when everything looks so great and so lovely and scold us, so to speak? At least we think that's what's happening. Why does he have to do that? Because the Lord has done told us, hey, you better watch out. He's coming back. Satan's coming back. You may think you've defeated him, but he's coming back and launch another attack at you. About this time next year, he's coming back. And it don't take a year all the time. He's coming back at you. So the Lord came and he said, you go strengthen yourself, Ahab. You get ready because he's coming back, but everything's going to be all right. Everything's going to be okay. The Lord came to him and said, because they said, I'm a God of the hills, I'm going to show them that I'm a God of the valleys. I'm a God of the valleys too. Oh, there's been times when I thought that nothing could ever go wrong. There have been times since in the last year over in Columbia, everything was going so great, you know, and I thought, well, nothing can ever go wrong now. Well, it's all uphill. Everything is downhill the rest of the way, you know. We've got it whipped. People come to the Lord and acknowledging the fact, I've got to be baptized, I've got to get the Holy Ghost, and everything looking great. But the Lord comes to me and said, it's good, be positive and all of that, but remember who's God. Don't remember this. Don't take for granted that you can do it. Remember who's God. You better still get back down on your knees and pray. You better still get there and fast. That's right. You better still study that Word and get in that Word, because you're going to need it. I said, you're going to need it, and you better get all the joy you can stand. That's right. You better get everything that the joy you can stand, because the joy of the Lord is your strength. You need that strength. You need to be happy. You don't need to be sad. I've always wondered how somebody could go from happy to sad in about 5 minutes' time, you know. I've always wondered about that. If you ever figure that out, let me know, Brother Shirley. How that can happen. You can be on top of the mountain, then somebody say one word, and you're down in the valley. We haven't got no joy. It's just superficial. Everything's just super. We better get the joy deep down. Hey, that's right. Get it down. Nothing's going to just turn us around. The Lord has helped me in the year I've been over yonder to keep myself encouraging the Him. Keep myself encouraging the Lord. Take advantage of every moment that I can to strengthen myself. Because there's times when it's gonna be weakness come my way, and I have to override that weakness. Amen. And so they went back home. I don't know how much they strengthened themselves, but sure enough, a year later, here they came. They came against them. There was the Lord going out before them, fighting, right and left. You know what Scripture said? One day, 100,000 was slew. That sounds like a bomb being dropped on. One day, 100,000 was slew. And that wasn't all. They tried to escape, and what was it? 27,000 of them went down the road and tried to hide themselves, and a wall fell on them and killed them. They couldn't get away from it, no way, shape, form, or fashion, because the Lord was fighting. I said the Lord was fighting. That's what happens for us. We get down in trouble. We get down and we don't know, oh, where can I turn to? Oh, it's so bad. Nobody wants to hear the Word of God. Nobody cares for me. Nobody loves me. Everybody hates me. You know, we get that way. And if we just remember, who are we serving? Whose side are you on? Who's fought your battles before? Who has? Jesus has. He's always been there. You think he's going to turn his back on you now? That's the song that this far, because he's going to take me the rest of the way too. Hallelujah. Oh, I know he's not going to leave me. I know he's not going to forsake me. Every time I've ever cried unto the Lord, he's came to me. There's been things that I've asked the Lord for just in the last 2 or 3 weeks. I mean, just like almost every day. And the Lord supplied every one of them. I said, the Lord has supplied every one of them. You said, you mean the Lord will answer all your prayers? I believe He'll answer every one of our prayers. That's right. If we pray, because we're supposed to be praying according to His will anyhow. That's right. And I believe He will. The Lord slew them people, and the only thing that was bad about that, and this is what we've got to watch out for, Ahab did not kill Ben-Hadad when he had the chance. He had the chance to make Ben-Hadad pay. But you know what Ben-Hadad did? That's what we let Satan do to us a lot of times. We let the devil do this to us. Ben-Hadad, he came and he made the terms for surrender. Well, you ever heard of the enemy making the terms for surrender? The loser? You ever heard of the loser making the terms? That's just what Ben-Hadad did. He said, we've heard that the kings of Israel are merciful kings. So they went and played on their mercy. And Ben-Hadad told him what he'd do. Just exactly. He said, I'll do this and this and this. And Ahab said, okay, you're my brother. You're my brother. The devil's not my brother. I said, he's not my brother. He's not going to ever be my brother. When I get the chance, I'm going to destroy him as best I possibly can. I'm going to kick him when he's down. Because if I don't, he's going to get right back up. He's going to get right back up. The Lord came to Ahab and said, you should have destroyed him. He said, this thing that you've done, he said, it's going to come back at you. Then Hadad, according to the Word of God, then Hadad is the one that, his army is the one that slew Ahab and killed him. At the end, we've got to encourage ourselves in the Lord. We've got to realize that we're serving a God, not only when we get on the mountaintop. We've got a God that's going to be with us when we go down to the valley. When I get in trouble, my God is still the same. Disciples, a few days after Pentecost, they had been taken in before the chief priests, the elders, and they had been told, don't you speak in this name anymore. They've been beaten. I'm sure they was discouraged a little bit. You know what they did? They went home and rejoiced. Rejoiced that they was worthy to suffer for the name of the Lord. But that wasn't all. They rejoiced that they was worthy to do it. I don't believe they was rejoicing for the suffering they had. They was rejoicing because they was worthy. They was counted worthy. The Lord cared for them that much. But they didn't stop there and just say, well, let the Lord get the glory out of all of this. I'm going to stay down here and feel sorry for myself. Let's talk about how they mistreated us. Let's talk about how they wronged us. Let's just tell each other our sad stories here. You know what they did? No, they didn't do that. They began to pray. They began to worship God with one accord. They lifted their voices, and this is what the Word of God says. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God. They didn't say, when the apostles came and said, oh, you know what they did to us? They beat us. They told us not to speak in that name anymore. We better go hide. They didn't say, tell us more. Tell us more. Tell us how bad it really was. Let's just talk about how things really were down in our valleys, you know. Let's tell this whole world how bad things really are when we go down through a valley. Let's write to all the churches and let's just tell them how bad the sufferings were. No, they didn't even tell us how bad it probably really was. They said, Lord, thou art God, which hast made heaven and earth, and the sea, and all that in them is. Who by the mouth of thy servant David hath said, why did the heathen rage, and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord, against his Christ. For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles, and the people of Israel were gathered together, for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before it to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak the word, thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the Bible says, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken, where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they spake the word of God with boldness. Amen. You know what we need to do? We need to get full of the Holy Ghost. I said, get full of the Holy Ghost. When you're full of the Holy Ghost, you want to tell everybody about it. Tell everybody about it. My dad used to tell me about my great-grandmother, how she would get up in church and he said, sing that song. Well, I said I wouldn't tell it to a living soul. I brought salvation and he made me whole. But I found I couldn't hide such love that Jesus did impart. What does it say? Well, it makes me laugh and it makes me cry. Sets my happy soul on fire. And God dipped his love in my heart. Hey, when you change, it should really change you. What did the Bible say? We are become new creatures. Old things are passed away. But to look at some of us sometimes, if we think about it, I'm not throwing off on you. I'm just trying to make us think about it. To look at some of us sometimes, what have we been changed? What has changed? You look the same. Do you know what they said about disciples? They could tell they had been with Jesus. They had been with Jesus. There was something different about them. Something different. They talked different. They walked different. Oh, Peter, before he got filled with the Holy Ghost, he lied. Evidently, he cursed. When they asked him, who was he a disciple of Jesus? Cursed bitterly and walked out. Because they said, you was one of them. What happened to him when he was changed? There came a change in him. Immediate change. He was so bold on the day of Pentecost, he stood up in front of the whole multitude. He was afraid of one or two just a few days before. And it didn't wear off either. You know why it didn't wear off? Because they made sure they went back to the room, got themselves alone, and got filled with the Holy Ghost one more time. Filled with the Holy Ghost. Oh, filled with the Holy Ghost. I said, filled with the Holy Ghost. And you know what? When you get filled with the Holy Ghost, you're filled with joy. I said, you're filled with joy. Everything looks right to you. Amen. Let's stand. And you know for a fact that your God is a God of the valleys. A God of the valleys. We know He's a God of the hills. We know that because we can feel it. Boy, we can feel it. Oh, it's bubbling. It's bubbling. It's bubbling. It's coming out. It's coming out. Let's get down in the valley and let that same joy be there. Amen. Amen. Let's lift up our hands and worship.
Learning to lean, I'm learning to lean, I'm learning to lean on Jesus, finding more power than I ever dreamed. I'm learning to lean on Jesus. Jesus, learning to lean. I'm learning to lean. I'm learning to lean on Jesus. Finding more power than I ever dreamed. I'm learning to lean on Jesus.